Welcome.
Ray and Tay today, talking sports with Francis.
Ray and Tay today, talking
sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. Give us a call and let's talk sports. 718-664-9098. Got a fun show, a great sports weekend, and I'm hyped, man. A lot going on, Ray. Let them know.
Oh, yeah. We've got some French Open tennis. We've got some NHL hockey. Well, one half of the NHL finals.
Let's go, Rangers.
Yeah, we've got a basketball team being sold for an unheard of amount of money. We've got some NFL suspensions. We've got, so that's all in breaking news, folks. Then we've got a guest. He's a baller from the States who is doing work in Europe right now, getting it done. We'll talk to him, and then we'll finish with the NBA playoffs. We're getting close to having an NBA finals. So we got a couple of game sixes coming up. We'll get into it. So let's start with the breaking news.
Well, hit me up with this NFL suspension. What's going on, man? I want to know.
Oh, man. Goodell, well, you thought he was going to suspend the Indianapolis Colts owner, Jim Irsay. That's not coming as of yet. So we'll see what happens with that. But
right. It
was announced today that the NFL is going to suspend Will Hill from the Giants 6 games for substance abuse, and they're going to suspend your boy, Arizona Cardinals linebacker, super stud linebacker, Darrell Washington.
Again?
For the 2014 season. Goodbye.
Big blow to the Cardinals defense.
Violation.
Right, because remember he missed 4 games last year.
Yeah,
came back and played
contract
well.
Contract year two.
Wow, that's a big blow. Well, my 14-year-old Elijah is going to be upset about that. He's a Cardinal fan. Other news, too, coming off the presses. You know, Seattle signing all their contracts and all their guys. They kept their receiver, Doug Baldwin, for 2 years. But the Giants, before he even got to basically go through OTAs and training camp, they released Josh Freeman, the quarterback that they picked up that, you know, would be the veteran backup. I guess Nassib and Eli might be enough. So kind of interesting on that front. It's bouncing around, man. There's a lot happening with the NFL, and you saw Denora Smith was kind of saying, you know, what's going on. But I think Roger is waiting for due process with Ray Rice, Alden Smith, and Irsay. So I think, you know, we got to just be patient. We got to definitely be patient. What's happening in the French Open, man? Any more upsets? We lost both the Williams sisters the other day. And who else is gone?
Yeah, that's – I tell you what, this – you know what it is, though? It's the surface.
It's the clay.
Absolutely,
yeah,
the clay. It's just such a unique surface. They only play on clay for about 4 or 5 weeks, and so you can't even really prepare. Either you're a good clay player or you're not. So, well, we still
so
have –
So you're either
in
the doll or you're not.
Well, the 8-time winner, right? But Djokovic – and Federer both won in 4 sets.
Yeah,
good. Radwanka, you know, came down. So it's just all about these unbelievable upsets in this in this matchup. Ultimately, it looks like it'll be a Nadal Djokovic on the men's side. The women's side is wide open, though. You know, it's who knows who's going to be there on the woman's side. I mean, you lost, you know, 1, 2, 4. It's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, I have no feel for this tennis match. You know, this Roland Garros.
Well, Sharapova, maybe Sharapova's got, you know, she just won in straight sets and she threw up donuts against the girl. So maybe I think Sharapova is her tournament to lose. I think she's got a clear shot to potentially win. So we'll see if she can.
Well, 1, 2, and 3 are out. So Sharapova's 7. So
yeah.
She's probably the highest seeded, you know, multiple.
Multiple
winner. So I tell you what, it'll be fun to watch though. This week and next weekend for the finals, or this coming weekend for the finals, or the week leading up to it, it should be real fun.
Yeah. Speaking of fun, it's a lot of fun in New York. Game six, the Rangers win 1-0, and they are in the Stanley Cup Finals. I'm hyped up. We'll see what happens tonight with the Blackhawks and Kings. I don't know what you're thinking. Do you think the Kings finish them?
I think the Kings finish them, yeah. Just like the Rangers finish them in six, the Kings finish them. But talking about Kings, King Henrik Lundqvist the first. He's the man, one zip. I tell you what, man.
Pitching the shutout. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was a great
Hey, the Rangers have got a legitimate shot. The Western Conference teams, both of them would probably be favored over the Rangers, but I think the Rangers have the hot goalie, momentum, and they got a shot, Ray. That's all you can ask for.
And what a great story. Dominic Moore scores the only goal.
That story was
and he took
tear-jerker.
Time off because his wife was battling cancer. So
he
that's just a
away.
Good story.
Yeah, no, that I saw that on ESPN, and that right there was just pulling out tears. Well, I'll tell you another thing it's heating up on the West Coast is potentially a Bay Area World Series. Would you like to see the Oakland A's and the Giants again and take us back to the earthquake in the late
80s? Last time, I was going to say, in 1989, last time we had that, we had an earthquake, and it lasted – I think the series was halted for 10 days or something like that.
Yeah.
So, sure, I'd like to see those two teams. I don't need another earthquake, though. So
no more earthquakes. But
save the earthquake, right? We don't
It'll
need
be
that.
Interesting to see, right, if the Giants' home runs can hold up, if, you know, the Blue Jays' power hitting, you know, Edwin Encarnacion is, like, on a home run pace.
Well,
yeah,
you heard about his home run pace. It's ridiculous. 18.
Bonds. Bonds
well, here's
and
the thing, he has 18 total, but 16 in May. He did nothing in April, but he had 16 in May. So this kid
and that's
is
not
going to
happen again.
This kid is about to potentially tie Bonds for the most ever. I mean, right now, he's tied with Mickey Mantle and a couple other, or one other, for 16 home runs in a month. That's crazy.
Hey, you got to believe that the Blue Jays would finally wake up and get it going. You just hope for their sake, their pitching can hold up and they can still manufacture runs. I like the way the A's win because it can last the whole season. It's a whole team. It's scrappy hitting. It's defense. Now, you're worried about their pitchers. Can they throw 200 innings, some of those guys? But if they can hold up the pitching, the A's have got a legit shot, and we just know the Tigers are just loaded. So it's going to be fun all the way around. So you want to talk about fun. Let's talk about your man used to be from Microsoft, Steve Ballmer. And let me ask you this. This is the question I got to ask. So the Clippers are bought for $2 billion, going from Forbes rated them at $575 million. Is there any chance that there was some brilliant maneuvering that somehow all this weirdness with the tape, the release, the wife, the husband, the lawyers, did the Sterlings orchestrate this? What do you think? Is there a shot? Because let me tell you, if they just want to sell the team for $575, maybe they were lucky to get $600 or $700 million, whatever. But everyone knows with controversy and salacious headlines, this and that, and then, you know, this whole thing, it's a way to generate a way to, you know, maybe sell it for more. I wonder.
The thing is, you would have to be really, really brilliant to do that because
right, but
why would controversy – look, if you asked me, you would think that –
because of how America works today, because you've seen it in the news cycle for the last 5 years, how what controversy does, good or
but
bad.
But I would think that because he's a distressed seller that he would get less than what it would normally be
worth. Not necessarily, because think of it like this – there's less time to comb over the books, like we spoke about on last episode about what, you know, what the buyers are like, you know, they got to do it before this happens and before that happens. And, you know, honestly, Steve Ballmer, he's just a $20 billion man who's buying a $2 billion toy because it's not worth this. Nowhere near. They're there for 9 more years. They don't get the parking. They don't get this. They don't get that. I mean, even if they win, maybe they're worth 1.2. And the closest bid, the Geffen Group, was at like 1.6.
Even that's ridiculous. Forbes value
is
575. Now, granted, the Bucks went for 550, so maybe 575.
Yes, you
got to
believe they're worth more. Yeah.
So, but let's say they're worth 700, 800, 900. But if the LA Clippers are worth $2 billion, You got to believe the Lakers are worth more, the Knicks are worth more, the Bulls are worth more, the Celtics might be worth more. So what are those teams worth? $2.5 billion? I mean, that's football prices. And we know the economics of football is much better than baseball. Basketball,
and guess what? The NFL, they're going to get to L.A. soon. After seeing this happen, those owners are chomping at the bit to get something going with an L.A. franchise. They've been gone 20 years, Ray. They got to make it happen.
Right. No, you're right. And in fact, well, the only bad thing here for the owners, I mean, this is great for the owners that somebody can sell for $2 billion, but the bad thing is when it comes to collective bargaining, the players who gave up 57% and went down to 50% of revenues, they're saying, wait a minute.
Wait a minute, Jack.
Me that you're quote-unquote losing money. And your worst team, the worst team in the NBA, was sold for $550 million, the Milwaukee Bucks, that only won 18 games.
And then your worst team in recent history.
Right, and your worst team over the past 35 years since the new owner.
Goes for $2
billion. 33 years, goes for $2
billion. Oh, so listen, the players can't wait to renegotiate.
Yeah,
they cannot wait.
A, you can't cry poor. And B,
and, you know, the TV contract's coming up. The one thing that could help the Clippers is the contracts coming up for the league and for the Clippers individually. So maybe Bomer gets some money there. We'll see. It's going to be fascinating.
Our caller. Hold on just one sec. Hello, you're on the air with Ray and Tay today.
How you doing? This is Tory Thomas.
Hey, what's going on, Tory? Good of you to join us.
Yeah, good. How's everything?
Great. How you doing? Where are you calling us from?
I'm doing great, man. I'm calling from New York. White Plains.
There you go.
White Plains. All right, yeah, we both grew up on the Upper West Side, Ray and Tay, so I'm Tal Rayside. I'm Ray.
All right, Ray.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, man. Welcome, Tory. Glad for you to join us, man. Hey, you know, listen, right off the bat, I mean, I want to ask you about this. You know, it wasn't a question that I thought of initially, but, you know, whether it's overseas or here, as a player in general, how did you view this whole Sterling situation in the Clippers, and how would you have felt playing for that organization if he potentially did what he did and then also maintained ownership? What would you have done, or what would you have wanted to do?
Basically, you know, you got to think of he finally came out and said his true feeling. Somebody, you know, recorded him, and I feel like as a player, we know that that's unacceptable. Now, as an owner of the job, he's cutting the check. Most people think about it in a financial standpoint. How many really would have left? I want to be honest with you. Like, people wouldn't have left when they're getting $10 million contract, no matter what he said. They're going to act like he didn't say anything because they're going to catch. That's how they live. That's how they get their money. That's how they support their family. For me, it would have took a real hard stance. I can't, because I won't. Being in that position, like, come on, that's, like, ridiculous to say some things like that, but this is his true feeling. He feel like this is just what life is to him. His reality is this, whether ignorant or not.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's reality. You know, everybody's got bills and mortgages and houses and cars.
Right.
So let me ask you this. Toy, so you're from White Plains, you went to Holy Cross, and then you took a long plane ride, end up in Sweden, and just crushed it in the Swedish league, averaging almost 26, 7.5, 6.5 assists, 3 steals. What was that experience like for a New York kid to go out and play in Sweden?
Yes, well, it was an unbelievable experience. I'm glad that I landed in Sweden, in Stockholm, because they spoke English as their second language, so that made it to adapt that much easier to be able to go on the streets and be able to speak. So that was great. It was very cold. Stockholm is a great city. Unbelievable city. Something to do. Great atmosphere. So, and it's very rich in history. And for me, like, that was a great starter league because it really showed that I could play in the European level and I could keep boosting up. Like, I got the MVP of the whole league, and that just started my career. So I couldn't land in a better place and handle my business at a better location than Stockholm, Sweden.
Good for you. Now, you played all over Europe, right? So what? Tell us just real quick, what was your best and your worst, city to play in? We heard the fans over there get crazy.
Oh, the fans are unbelievable. fans in Poland when I was in Torgeler. It's a small city, only 30,000 population, but they shut the city down for the game. So Poland was great. I was in Vladivostok, Russia, way on the far east in China. I would take 18 hours to get there from New York. It's 9 hours by plane from Moscow, Russia. So I've been in
wow.
You got to just think about what I just told you. 9 hours and you're still in the same country.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
I've been in the fans shut down for these certain games. If you go into the right city, I've been in Groningen, Holland, where we have fans packed every night. So I've been in some really nice cities, but I've been in also some small cities where, you know, it's really nothing to do. My life consisted of practice twice a day, lunch, dinner, go back to my apartment, and I'm sleeping or going watching a movie on the internet, and I can't do anything because there is nothing around. One stop.
Wow.
But, yeah, I've been in villages as well. So I've been in some nice big cities, but also been in villages. And in Serbia, this place in Serbia called Partizan in Belgrade, probably the best band that I've ever played for. The loudest, craziest, M80s in the stands, blown up, all of that.
Now that's awesome. Is that a little bit of pressure on the free throw line with that?
Major pressure to play there. Major pressure, that's for sure. But when they
Let me ask you this, Tori. What's the major difference, though, you think, whether college or even European ball, you know, U.S. to Europe? What's the major difference in the game and the experience?
Okay, well, college, you know that it's pretty physical, really, really very structured, a lot of sets, 35-second shot clock. That makes a difference, you know. You got a different game plan in college, you know, really camaraderie. Now, Europe, you go into more pick-and-roll situations. It's back to 24-second shot clock, still 40 minutes a game, and it's a little bit faster, more physical. Now you go into NBA, I think it's way spread out. The best, greatest athletes just athletically involved, but now it's spread out, so it's a lot more one-on-one, a lot more higher scoring. So every level was different, but you keep going in different. The speed of the game changes, and the athletic ability of the game changes. Also, you got to be smart. You have to use your head.
Right. No, I can imagine. So let me ask you this. I know you've tried out for some teams. I want you to break down for us, you know, your NBA tryouts and that experience.
Okay.
But tell our fans also, what player would you say your game is like in the NBA today in terms of your game and how you get down as a point guard?
Okay.
Hello?
Oh, it sounds like we might be having some technical.
Hello?
Oh, yeah, we're back.
Yeah,
we're back.
Okay, now you're there.
Sorry, I'm going with that zone. I'm sorry about that. I've had 4 NBA pre-draft scouts. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. One was with the New York, New Jersey Nets, Boston Celtics, and Utah Jazz.
Okay. And how did it go? I mean, how did that all work out? Like,
unbelievable. So, you know, you come into the facility, and it's usually 4 guys with you. So you do 2-on-2, you can shoot and drill. It only lasts for an hour, so they just evaluate you for an hour, and they take, you know, what they feel is, you know, greater for you or what you need, and then they make their decision on what they're going to do. But it's 2-on-2 usually. It doesn't come in 5-on-5, so it's not a full thing like that.
Okay. And you say it lasts
so
an hour, and each team looks process-wise goes about the same?
Yes, everything was about the same, almost similar in drill. So we would say we'll do some pick-and-roll drills at 2-on-2. We'll do shooting drills. We'll do some handle and finish them with less. That's how we finish.
Okay, you're breaking up a little bit on us, Tori. So let me ask you this. What do you think about these NBA playoffs? You following, and who do you have? Who do you have going to the finals?
Yeah,
and who do you have winning it?
Yeah, I'm following it closely. I was just in Miami. I went to the Miami Heat game, my first ever playoff NBA game. Saw them beat Indiana for that game. I believe game 4, and I think Miami's going to win it again. But coming in the back end, San Antonio, so their intelligence of the game, they play together. I feel like they got So that's going to be a tough call, you know. I think it's going to be San Antonio, Miami in the finals.
So repeat of last year.
A repeat of last year.
All right. All right. Yeah, it looks like that.
I know.
Yeah.
I got to
tell
you, that was pretty impressive last night.
When you win that going on forward, so San Antonio won game five, I think they'll win the series.
Right. So, Tori, so let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Tori. We love your website, gotori.com. Tell, you know, all of our listeners about your website, and obviously you're very tech savvy. It's kind of fly. We're really feeling the website. And currently, you know, where are you playing, or what are your plans for next season?
Yeah.
And just update our fans and how people can reach you on Twitter and everything.
Yes, my website, gotori.com, was actually designed by two guys in Poland. Polish guys designed it. Now, Dariusz and Kamil designed the website. They did an excellent job. And I'm all get my videos up. I do different video logs, my stats and game film, and just my accolades and everything. Just follow my journey, my friends and family that can't really see the games, different time frame, time zones. They can go to the website and check things out. And I'm on Twitter at GoTori and on Instagram at GoTori. But everything goes through the website. So it's very well put together. If you put together a pretty good product, people can see that and look at it and take you seriously when they don't know that you're in the NBA. NBA is not everything. Everybody's not NBA. There's many basketball players out there that have a good game, and you can be showcased that way.
Wow, that's great. That's a great message, and you sound like a real, put together, baller, and you got some tech savvy going on. That's great. Good for you, Tori, man.
Thank
it was
you.
A pleasure to have you on the show. We'll keep
it.
Up to date. We'll look for where you're going to be at next year.
Yes,
we'll tweet at you.
Do you already know where you're playing at, Tori? Have you signed any contracts?
I don't actually know yet. Right now I'm working on something with a new agent. I possibly might get a workout with an NBA team or two, will go to the Vegas Summer League. So I'm still working here.
I was going
to
say, I might even get down there and see you in the Vegas Summer League. That's where you got
to
go, Tori. That's the place, man.
That'd be great. I'm shooting for the stars. So the main goal is going to Vegas this summer.
Wow. That's great, man. Well, we wish you well. Thank you for joining us, man.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Thanks. We appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, Tori. Good luck.
All right. Good luck. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Wow, Tori Thomas, ladies and gentlemen. Check him out at gotori.com. That's GOTORY.com. Go Tori. Just a great ball player, man. I mean, I've seen his videos, his stats, playing against Scottie Pippen, killing it in some of the European leagues. But and a Holy Cross star, so that's a great
local
story.
Yeah, local product from White Plains, We represent White Plains. No, that's great.
Yeah,
and look, I love it that the I hate to call him a kid, but he's that young. We should call him
he's
a kid,
young
right?
man.
He's a young man, but he's doing it, and he realizes, look, there's the NBA is not the end all be all. There's basketball in other countries. Like we had our guy Ed Odovan telling us about basketball in
Japan.
So he's talking about basketball in Sweden and France and across Poland and Serbia, across Europe. So people, and this, a lot of credit goes to David Stern, man. You can earn a living and you can be a baller and see the world. In some ways, the NBA is
I know,
nice,
that's amazing.
And you make a lot of money, but in terms of your life experience, it's quite a huge, great, personal development to play overseas and see all these cultures and these foods.
And you can
and
hear it just talking to Tori. That's what I loved about it, You could hear his world experience, and just the pleasure he got out of it, and also appreciating passionate fans no matter where they're from. I mean, how much passion is it? Yo, you got an M80 and cats are screaming and cheering. That's passion, baby. I love it. Let's talk about some passion with the Spurs, because last night, 32 all after the end of the first quarter, great first quarter, 65-55 at the half, and then the kaboom. The Spurs put it on them. I wanted to believe, and we got to give credit to Oren. Remember, Oren called in, and we were both saying OKC, even with Ibaka, but he was like, nah, Spurs are going to do it. And I got to tell you, I can't see now how the Thunder are going to win this series. What do you think? Even though I think Westbrook's been the best point guard, though, in the NBA
like
playoffs.
Like Tim Duncan
really
said, this has been the weirdest series I've ever seen. Every game is a blowout.
Yeah.
And so,
closest was 9 in game 3, 9 points, OKC won by.
Yeah, and but you could argue that the second half, by halftime, the game was over in every game. So I think OKC is going to win game 6, and I would have said San Antonio loses a game 7, but they really did a lot to prove that they're so resilient. Starting Matt Bonner, think about the guts and the savvy that Greg Popovich has. He didn't even score. That's the funny thing.
Yeah.
But he stretched out the defense, and Ibaka had to respect him. Yeah.
Yep, spacing. I mean, and you know what? And he'll stick with it for the next game. And it was a brilliant move. And I think it got Ibaka off rhythm. Ibaka did not look like the same person. And so I don't know if it was part of the injury or just, you know, not being away from the basket. And sometimes people don't understand the intricacies of the game, and that's what it's about. It is about court spacing. It's why the Heat need a Battier, a Mike Miller, or a Ray Allen. Why they like Bosch being outside and shooting, because then Wade and LeBron can penetrate and go to the basket with ease. It's hard for the Pacers when Hibbert's in there clogging up the lane. That's why I told you offensively, I like it sometimes when they do Scola and West. Defensively, it doesn't work, but offensively, it really opens it up. So tonight, did the Heat just finish him? I mean, look, you got to salute Paul George. Heroic performance, and they still almost lost. But I got to believe, you know, Hibbert woke up, had a double-double, which I thought I threw that out there on Twitter, that for them to win that game, Hibbert needed the double-double, and Paul needed 25 or more, and he sure enough did it. What's happening tonight? You think it's finally over?
It's
we
over.
Just put the Pacers
it's over.
To bed.
Yeah, LeBron.
No more.
Is LeBron.
No more. Born ready. No more Stevenson breathing in LeBron's ear. That ain't
no
happening.
No more breathing in anybody's ear. Let me breathe on you real quick. No more breathing in the ears. I think LeBron.
Lance is a mess. You gotta love him though. You gotta love Lance. Yo, that's Brooklyn. Yeah.
LeBron goes 25-10-10, and they pull away
10
in the second half. And they just crush them. I think they run away with it 110-85. I think that they just take out all their frustrations on the Heat. Plus, Miami has to figure that they're an older team. They could use a few days rest. The NBA Finals.
Oh, Ray Allen and Birdman need to get healthy. Yeah.
Yeah. Are set for the 5th.
I agree. I think they win something like 93-82. But I think they handle them. And what will be fascinating to see, can George on the road come up with that big game? And who else will help him score? You know, will Lance get you – Lance or West is going to have to get over 20 for them to win. Somebody's going to have to be the second explosive
scorer. Maybe both
scorer.
Of them, and then George Hill has to give you some oomph. And,
yeah, no, you
got
to play big this game. Pacers will have to play huge. It's going to be fun. So far it's been started off a legendary playoffs. It sort of eased up, and then it's had its ups and downs. But overall, these games, I tell you, that first quarter last night was some of the best basketball. I mean, the Westbrook, coming down, just flap, hitting the three, and then, you know, Danny Green, and then Poem, and Kawhi Leonard, and Duncan, and Ginobili to the hoop, Parker to the hoop. I mean, it was an exciting game. And I got to believe OKC wins game 6 on Saturday night. And then we have Monday night, TNT, nothing else is happening. We have a game 7, and the Heat are sitting home, you know, with Terrell Owens eating their popcorn, watching game 7. So that's going to be.
That's how it'll play out.
Does OKC have a chance?
Of course. Look, if OKC's rhythm wasn't broken with Serge Ibaka, I think they would have won in 6. I just think that they're a bad matchup. You know how we say matchups make fights.
But the Spurs role players play so good at home.
They do.
You
and that's
saw
why game
Joseph
seven at home
and Mills.
Is big.
That's the
game
thing.
Seven
game 7.
Big.
And Boris Diaw's waking up. Listen, it's tough.
In fact, you could argue B. Diddy is the most important player
he
when
is.
It comes to Ibaka because even though Bonner stretched him out, they were tied at the end, you know, when Boris Diaw came into the game. So actually,
yeah.
they made the run when Diaw was the stretch four, hitting those 2 3-pointers.
Yeah.
So
and he's
the
one
day,
that can pass and score.
Yeah, you have to watch
that nice
image.
Pass. Yeah.
But he's nice. I mean, he's the guy that offsets Ibaka to some degree. It punishes Ibaka, right? If Ibaka plays in the lane and tries to negate Tony Parker's drives, then Serge steps outside and can hit those threes. So that stretch four is an important component. I mean, think about it. Rashard Lewis made his living, what was that, 09, as a stretch four for Turkoglu and Lewis, remember, in those playoffs, went all the way to the finals.
Yeah.
Against the Lakers.
Yeah, no, I know. Well, you know, I'm telling you, man, that was really good talking to Torrey. I'm hyped about these games. I'm going to tell you one thing, though. For them to win Game 7, you're going to need to see not just a great Ibaka game defensively. He needs 15. Both of these guys need 30 apiece. And young Adams or the veteran Caron Butler to win in San Antonio, going to have to get you double digits. It's going to have to happen. That's the only way I see OKC beating the Spurs Game 7 in San Antonio.
Yeah, you might be right. You might be right. Well, look, we had a great show. We had a great guest.
Yeah.
Very fun to talk basketball, international basketball. We got some great basketball this weekend.
Yo, I want to go see him in Sweden, yo. We got to get some tickets.
I'm telling you, man, European ball, we got to do it. Ray and Tay from the road.
Yeah, no, definitely. But you know what? I think this year I might be heading down to the Vegas Summer League and I might see Torrey there, man.
There you go.
With this rookie crop, I think we have to get Ray on a plane with his Bobcats jersey to meet Tay in Vegas to go to the NBA Summer League, my favorite time of the year, man. I love it. Great show, great weekend. Watch the French Open, watch the NBA playoffs. The Kings may be closing up the hockey tonight, the Stanley Cup, the Rangers, and thanks for listening and talking sports with friends.
Have a great sports weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
See you Monday. Peace.
We're out.